Welcome into the show. Time for the Lunch Rush, the top stories trending nationally. In the sports world, Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark has been suspended by the NFL for 2 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. His suspension begins immediately. The Chiefs have a bye this week, though. So he'll be suspended in Week 9 against the Titans and Week 10 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He'll be eligible to return in Week 11 against the Chargers. He pleaded no contest back in September in Los Angeles to 2 counts of misdemeanor possession of an assault weapon and was sentenced to 1 year of probation and 40 hours of community service. He was arrested in L.A., back in March, he was pulled over while riding with another man in a vehicle that did not have a license plate. An officer noticed a weapon in the car and recovered 2 loaded firearms. In June, Clark was pulled over for a code violation, and officers discovered another gun in his vehicle. Quit putting your guns in your car, man. Stop storing your guns in your vehicles.
If you do it, make sure you have the right paperwork and license for it.
Exactly. Yes, that would be
ideal. Can't get in trouble
ideal.
If you're doing the right thing.
Yes. Sometimes it's the easiest things, right? Aaron Rodgers is kind of calling out his team. He's calling out the poor, some of these guys that have been bad. He was on the Pat McAfee show. It's like one of his best friends. He said, we had so many mental errors and mistakes. It's not the type of football we're used to playing. He elaborated and talked about how maybe guys should get a cut in their playing time. He said, it's definitely not just one play here or there. It's 20% of the time. If we have 50 plays and we have 10 missed assignments or mental errors, that's 20% of the time. That's way too high. In the past, we're looking more like less than 10%, so that gives us a really good chance to be successful. 20%, that's too high. I think guys who are making too many mistakes shouldn't be playing. Got to start cutting some reps. And maybe guys who aren't playing, give them a chance. Well, he was criticized for that after those public comments over the weekend. While he was on the Pat McAfee show, that's when he kind of just went off. And former teammate Greg Jennings, who was with Rodgers for a good chunk of time, he heard about the comments and he had an issue with it. He said, you can't do this. You can't sit down on a show and start talking about who should and shouldn't be playing because of mental errors. We had so many errors, Rodgers continued to go on. He just elaborated, and Jennings had a problem with it. What do you think? Is this a bad, terrible look for Aaron Rodgers to call those guys out like that?
It wouldn't be so bad if this was the first time he did it. But he's been kind of doing this all season so far. He's obviously frustrated with the receivers and the offense and the issues that the team is facing. But I think he needs to look in the mirror a little bit because he isn't playing that great either.
He's making mistakes too. I mean, should his time be cut? No.
Nobody's saying that. Put Jordan Love out there for a snap or two?
Yeah, no one's saying that. But it is. And again, I didn't hear him like call anybody out by name. But I think if you're a Packers fan, you could probably deduce who he's talking about. You know, wide receivers, offensive linemen, all of that. So,
what good does it do to put newer guys in there that don't have that experience?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. We talked about this earlier, but worth mentioning again. Warriors guard Klay Thompson was ejected for the first time in his career. He had 2 consecutive technical fouls during a chippy third quarter in Golden State's 134-105 loss to the Suns last night. He's played in 759 regular season and playoff games, and that was the first time that he'd ever been ejected. Those two were going at it. Normally, it's Draymond Green that's doing the trash talking, but Klay Thompson and Devin Booker were not fans of each other last night. Although Booker said at the end of the game, I really respect him and I love Klay. It's just talking within the game. I always admire their ability, though, to turn on and off the chirping and the trash talk, because they'll go shake hands and be buddy-buddy before the game. Then the game starts, and it's like you feel like they hate each other.
Yeah, I mean, all you see across sports, but a lot in basketball, it's very frustrating. It can be a very frustrating game within it. You know, you're guarding a guy all game, and he keeps hitting shots, and you're trying to, you know, do your thing and the back and forth. But at the end of the day, it's the respect between players and respect for the game that you like to see. We talked about respecting the game yesterday, and you see, you know, we love the trash talk between, you know, a couple of rivals in those teams there, championship contenders. You like to see it. It makes the game more interesting.
Yeah. It does. NBA, one final note, the NBA power rankings came out courtesy of ESPN. They got Milwaukee at number one, Boston at number two, Phoenix now number three, beating the Warriors the way they did. They beat the Mavs. They beat the Clippers. The Suns are looking like they're right there in the thick of it as far as a contender. Memphis is ranked fourth. I mean, they're 3-1. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane have been tearing it up as we kind of thought that they would. Golden State's ranked fifth. Cleveland coming in at sixth. They're 2-1, but obviously having Donovan Mitchell there has changed the way that they look at things. Can they stay there? Clippers are at 7. Portland is at 8 after they just destroyed the Nuggets the other night. They're 4-0. Chauncey Billups, man, might be getting this thing together. Damian Lillard is in superstar form. He had 22. He had two 41-point games. Anfernee Simons has been ridiculous. He's drilled seven or eight three-pointers against the Nuggets. Yusuf Nurkic, and then you add Jeremy Grant. Portland might be the team that we should have been talking about more. Pelicans are coming in at 9, and rounding out the top 10 are your Denver Nuggets, losing to the Jazz and now the Portland Trail Blazers. They're looking to bounce back tonight against the Lakers. That's going to be on ESPN. Why do I have a bad feeling about this game? I know, you're looking at me like, why? Is this when the Lakers get it right? Or are they that bad? Are they really that bad?
I think they are, and we saw Russell Westbrook is questionable to play.
Oh, man. They might never recover from that one, Angel.
LeBron's new neighbor was announced today. They
live next to each other.
They live next door to each other now.
How is that going? Like, they don't...
LeBron might be building a bigger fence.
I think he might, man. That situation is so bad. And why would they move in next door? Did Russell moved in?
Yeah.
I thought Russ was leaving. Like, just stay in an apartment. You might not be here long. Don't even unpack. We're not sure what's going to happen.
Well, if you shoot enough bricks, you're bound to build a house at some point.
Oh, man. Yes. Very good. Very, very good. You cracked that one. That was good. Michael Porter Jr., questionable tonight?
Yeah, he's dealing with the official title is lumbar spine management.
Oh, so it's not like he's really hurting. It's just management.
It is. It's interesting. If it's management, why not just say he's out? If he's on a minutes restriction or some kind of limitation because of just precautionary stuff. He did have that collision in the Portland game where kind of didn't look right afterwards. And anything with the back and MPJ, you're just immediately worried. And we just pray that this isn't something more serious or another reoccurring issue with the back. We'll see. He was at shoot around today, shooting the ball a little bit. So
he's listed as day to day. So is Jeff Green. Nice article in the Denver Post, kind of about how Michael Malone's talking about how Michael Porter has shown him that he cares about defense. There's a different look to MPJ. Different look.
I think him realizing the rest of his team around him can support him. He's not pushing or pressing as hard on defense. That doesn't mean he's lazy, but he's focused in a different way on his defensive performance.
Yeah, I talked about this yesterday with our Nuggets insider, Brendan Vogt. Like, there is an aggressiveness that I'm seeing with MPJ that I have never seen, that I've always wanted to see from this guy. And he was good against Portland. He had 18 points, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. Today you take the over on Nikola Jokic, whatever the hell it is, right? Joker just goes crazy tonight, right?
Yeah, I like a double-double from Jokic tonight. Maybe triple.
None of these 999s.
Please, never again.
That was awful. Don't do that anymore. That's depressing, man.
I want to see him shoot the ball a little bit more. When he goes down in the paint and post up somebody, it's automatic.
Right. Why are we not doing that more? Brendan talked about it yesterday. Like, how are you going to coach the two-time MVP? It's not like Malone's going to go to him and say, dude, you're doing it all wrong. But from everything I understand is that this is Joker's decision. It's hanging out at the top of the key, facilitating, not just taking the ball down, backing into a defender and shooting one of those little Sombor shuffle type deals. He's not, in that Portland game, That was the Joker that I haven't seen in a while. The one that just says, I'm not going to shoot. He shot four times. You can't have your two-time MVP shoot it four times. Good luck telling him that, though. I mean, he literally doesn't care. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. And again, they didn't win. If they win, we're not talking about it as much. But you can't have your two-time MVP take four shots. It's not going to work. And unless Porter is easily scoring close to 30, and Jamal Murray is getting up there in the 20s again. And I just, you played a good game in the first half, and then the third, you just taken over. And that's when I want to see the Joker, because that's what you see with the other superstars. I guess that's been the knock on the Joker.
Well, you've seen it before. He has his takeover mode that he gets into where he's facilitating in his own way and he's leading the offense by himself. And we've seen that, and maybe he's just easing himself into that role a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what he's just trying to ease into it, figure out his teammates, his new teammates.
Let the team catch up to him so then we can jump back into MVP Jokic.
Yeah, I get it. I don't like it, though. You're the two-time MVP. Put the team on your back and let's go. You got smoked by Portland, embarrassed by Portland. So I expect Joker to go off tonight. And I tell you, man, Aaron Gordon and Joker's connection. Like, I think more of that's going to happen.
I'm loving what I see from Gordon so far this year. It's early,
been
but
to
that's
probably
what we want.
The highlight for me. Christian Brown's emergence has been a big one. But I think watching Nikola Jokic in some of these takeover modes is what I want to see. That's what I need to see. But yeah, the two things that I'm looking at as far as positives that I'm really taking away from 2-2 is Aaron Gordon and is Christian Brown a player? Like, could he be a player? I'm curious. I mean, every night's going to have these interesting storylines. And tonight you go up against the Los Angeles Lakers, desperate to get into the win column. The over-under tonight, what do you think of this? Gordon over or under 12.5 points. Over?
I'll take that over.
Joker over or under 23.5.
Yes.
And Nuggets win.
Yes.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Got a
tonight.
Parlay right there.
That's a parlay right there. I love Nikola Jokic. I mean, it's going to take a lot for me to get frustrated with him. But when you know he's that good, and you're like, dude, you can take over 9 points when you lose by 30. That's a night where I need you to score 30 or approach it. So I wonder if we'll see a takeover type game tonight. How does Anthony Davis fare against Nikola Jokic?
Headband.
You should think Joker goes with the headband.
We need it back.
That's what changes.
That's the secret.
Davis wears a headband now, doesn't he?
Sometimes.
I don't know. I never see him on the floor, so
nice.
He's never in the game. Never. I Denver's minus 5.5. Do you like that?
I could see this game getting, you know, away from the Lakers in the second half, fourth quarter. So yeah, I could see 5.5.
I mean, it's not like, so they had a close game against the Blazers. They lost by 2. Fairly close game against the Clippers. The Warriors took hold in the fourth. They lost 123-109. It's not like they're just getting ran out of the arena, but that's kind of how basketball goes sometimes. You know, you don't blow, you might be up by 10 for most of the game, controlling the game, and then a couple of weird things happen late, and the scores look a little bit different. LeBron's getting his, but when I watch him, I'm going, doesn't look like a 30-point night from LeBron. But he has the ball in his hands all the time.
Yeah, and you can live with LeBron getting 30.
You can.
You just can't.
Yeah, he had 31 against the Blazers the other night, 12 of 22, 2 of 9 from the three-point line. So, I mean, he's shooting. He's getting it up there. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs. Maybe we'll talk more about the basketball side of things with Mark as Tad Boyle and company looking to get set for maybe, hopefully, a March Madness berth this season. We got today in the NFL, future headlines. Is it do or die time for Nathaniel Hackett once and for all? All that and more coming up next.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If the Broncos lose on Sunday, will Nathaniel Hackett be fired? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Hey, boy, there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, it's sure leading up to it. Where there's smoke, there's fire with the rumor mill that it's probably going to get there. I mean, do you want to be the one? I mean, George Payton, this is your first hire, and you fire him and you make history? The quickest exit we've ever seen with a first-time head coach? That's you for the rest of your life and the rest of your career. Is that where you want to go? Or do you just sit back and hope it gets better? I mean, here's the thing. They've never had a must-win like this before, outside of playoffs, because obviously playoffs are always must-win. It's win or go home. I don't remember a regular season game meaning so much to an organization. Whether you are for Hackett or against Hackett, which I'm guessing most of you are against Hackett, but this will change your trajectory for the rest of the season. Does that mean they'll follow it up? Like, let's say they beat Jacksonville, they take their bye, they come back, they start winning games. Does that change? I mean, does that change things? Yeah, I mean, he can fight for his job. If you can round this season out, and let's say you do end up winning 5 or 6, 7 games, I think that you would look at the back half of that and go, okay, there's improvement there. Can we get better? Can we get better overall? But here's the deal. Jags, I know they're favorite, but that's a winnable game. The Titans, when I say winnable, I mean like they're not upper echelon teams. They're not probably going to be playoff teams, I don't think. Home against the Raiders. 4 games in a row, you're at the Panthers following the Raiders game. So, I mean, if you're George Payton, you're looking at it going, find a way to beat Jacksonville on Sunday. We regroup. We don't play again until the 13th of November. Maybe you salvage something. Lose to Jacksonville, then you're way behind the eight ball. And you have a whole bye week to think about it. So, yeah, the timing makes sense. I mean, you're asking, what's the difference between 2-6 and 3-6 or whatever it would be? The difference is the bye week. You have the time to think about it. And how many home games do you have left? You have 1 against the Raiders, 1 against the Chiefs, 1 against the Cardinals, 1 against the Chargers. You're wanting to make those home games beneficial to you as the Walton Penner Group takes a look at the bottom line. And how many no-shows did I say? It felt like 6,000 or so. That's a big number for Broncos country. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, I remember being there and it's like 1,700 no-shows, and that was a big deal. Not 6,000? You can't have it. You just bought this team and it's the worst it's ever been. In the past 10, 15, 20 years. No doubt. I outlined the season-by-season thing the other day, Angel, and I remember the year after Elway, they won 6 games, and I remember the second Josh McDaniels year. They won 4. Those were the two worst seasons that I witnessed as a Broncos fan. They have, for the most part, you know, if they're not in the playoffs and winning Super Bowls, they're usually a 500 type team. You know, Shanahan, the end of Shanahan's time was he was 8-8, 9-7, 9-7, 8-8. That's kind of who he was. That was considered a bad season for Denver, was 8-8. Now you're 2-5. And you're trying to somehow figure out what the next 5-year trajectory looks like. And you've lost 4 in a row with the offense just looking worse by the day. And halftime adjustments are non-existent, it seems like, for Nathaniel Hackett, because you can score 9 in the first half, you can score 10 in the first half, and then in the second half, you're just completely shut down. Same with the Colts game. Got to find a way to piece it together this weekend. And Russell Wilson sounds like he's playing. If I'm Nathaniel Hackett, I'm happy about that. Russell's better than Brett Rypien. I mean, maybe not by much right now, but ideally, you're going to have your best shot to win a football game with Russell Wilson a little banged up, as opposed to putting Brett Rypien in there, who kind of looked lost at times. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And Mark, I'm ready to start talking some hoops with you, man. I'm ready to start looking at what Tad Boyle's crew might have in store for us this season.
Well, I'm with you. In fact, on Sunday, you know, the Buffaloes entertained Nebraska in an exhibition game. We're doing a television broadcast of that. It's a streaming broadcast you can find on the Pac-12 website. Go through the Buffs website as well. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited about basketball, man. They're in Los Angeles. They're coming back today, actually. Yesterday they had media day in Los Angeles, the Pac-12 network. And there's a lot of excitement around this team. I think they're going to be a very good basketball team.
I think so, too. And, you know, tell us a little bit about what our listeners can expect from this team. Obviously, we're looking at guys like DeSilva to lead this group. But, you know, Tad Boyle, just no matter what happens, it always seems like there's going to be a basketball team at least thinking about March Madness.
Yep, there's no doubt. Yeah, Tristan DeSilva, I think, is going to be the cornerstone of this team. The last couple of years, he has really deferred to Jabari Walker. And, well, certainly last year, the year before, was some of the seniors on the team. But he deferred to him last year. I think he's a highly skilled guy. You know, he's 6'10", 6'11", highly skilled. His brother was an outstanding player at Stanford. Now, Tristan's a little bit different than Oscar was. Oscar was pretty much a five-man. He was on the block kind of guy. Tristan's very skilled, shoots the ball very well, NBA skill set. On a very big body. KJ Simpson is an all, you know, and by the way, DeSilva's an all preseason all conference guy. KJ Simpson, highly regarded point guard coming out of high school, was a backup a year ago in his freshman campaign. He'll take over. He's also a preseason all conference guy. I think those two are probably the leaders of this team right now. But Dominique Clifford, I think, is going to be he's ready for a breakout year. That dude has always, this Colorado Springs kid, that guy has always been one of those I thought, boy, if he ever figures out how talented he is, you know, because he's 6'5", 6'6", long, athletic, great vertical leap. I thought if he ever figures out how athletic he actually is and understands how dominant he could be an upper-level player. So you've got those guys. You've got three different players who have transferred in, one junior college guy, a couple of seniors who come in as graduate transfers from the Ivy League. It's a very deep basketball team, and it's a little bit different. They're not as big as they were a year ago. Evan Batty graduates. Jabari Walker is now with Portland in the NBA. He was a second-round draft pick. And so it's a little bit different kind of squad, athletic, quick, up and down the court. I think they'll be a real relentless defensive team. I think they're going to be a lot of fun.
What are your expectations for this team?
Well, I think, you know, right 20 wins down. I mean, that's what Tad averages right now. He's averaging over 20 wins a season. And I think they should compete. Right now, if you look at the Pac-12, UCLA is going to be the prohibitive favorite. We all understand that. They've got, again, virtually everybody coming back. Matina 2 years ago was in the Final Four. And so, you know, they're going to be the favorite. But I think Colorado's in that next group, kind of that 2-6 range, where I think you've got a group in there in Oregon and USC and Colorado, and Stanford's going to be involved in that group as well, and a couple of others that I think it really could end up in a very tight race for that number two spot in the Pac-12. And then, you know, challenge, obviously, UCLA for a title. But I think they're going to be in the running for an NCAA tournament deal. They're going to be running for a Pac-12 regular season championship and postseason championship. And that's the expectation that Tad's built now at this point. What I want for Tad Boyle is for him to get to the second weekend of the dance at some point, get to the Sweet 16, and, you know, and put that on his resume to kind of establish him as one of the great coaches in the country.
What kind of, is there really any pressure on Tad Boyle? Because you and I have had this discussion a lot. He's a great coach. You're going to be hard pressed to find, you know, that caliber of coach to coach here. And, you know, Colorado's not maybe known big time for all of its basketball. But where do you look at it when you see with Rick George and everything? Obviously, we know football has a lot of work to do. But I mean, is Tad kind of safe for as long as he wants to be?
Yes. Yeah, without question. I mean, it's silly to me when I get a message, and it happens on occasion, where somebody drops me a line and says, oh, we got to find a new basketball coach. I'm like, you have got to be out of your mind. You know, what's wrong with you? Seriously, look at what the guy does. Okay, year in and year out. I say all the time, this is the golden era of Colorado basketball right now. Every year, mark it down, 20 wins postseason, whether that's NCAA or NIT, he's in it. Look at every other year, the 130 years or whatever it is of Colorado basketball, and find me a stretch even close. You can't find one. I mean, the guy this year is going to become the winningest coach in Colorado history. He's already got more 20-win seasons than the history of Colorado basketball, for goodness sakes. I mean, he is setting this thing. You know, when he took this thing over 12 years ago, this would be his 13th season, this was looked at as a terrible job. Bobby Knight made a call to Jeff Mazdelic and said, what are you doing taking that job? That's a career killer, taking that job. Tad Boyle takes his job, and all of a sudden, it's a pretty darn good job. Now, is it a blue blood? Is it North Carolina? Is it Duke? No, it's not that. But what Tad does year in and year out, and what he's doing with the financial, I think, probably, you know, circumstances that he has to deal with, is unbelievable. And as competitive as they've been every single year, the coaching job he does, I think, is as good as any in the country. And listen, we've kind of hinted around the stuff before. And now with NIL, we don't have to hint. The guys at the top level of this thing are cheating like crazy. I mean, they're paying everybody. It used to be under the table. Now it's on top of the table. And everyone knows about it. I mean, for example, I've got a couple of guys in the business tell me, you know, there are some of the top schools in the country. Every single student athlete on those rosters is getting somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 a year contracts now.
Yeah,
that's not happening at the University of Colorado. So what Tad's doing with the construction of you know, what they deal with at Colorado and the financial limitations at different times is unbelievable. Anybody that says that to you or anybody else and says that guy should be fired and a new coach doesn't understand the game of college athletics nor the game of basketball at all.
I'm with you. You and I have had these conversations, and I mean, I just look at Tad, and no matter the superstar that's moving on or whatever, going to the next level or just being done, he's able to recharge to the point where every year we're talking about, okay, yeah, we expect them to win 20 games and be in the conversation of March Madness.
Yep, yep. Without question. You know, think about this for a second. You know, so we expect postseason play. We expect 20 wins every year. Did you know if you go to a home game at the University of Colorado under Tad Boyle, you've got an 82% chance of seeing a victory? Let me think about that for a second. 82%. That's an incredibly high percentage. I don't care what sport you're talking about. And he's got seven guys just last week when the NBA season got underway, seven guys in the NBA. I mean, by any metric you want to use looking at Colorado basketball and its history, he is surpassing all of those metrics in every single category. And that's why it just gets so frustrating. And by the way, he does it the right way. All of his guys graduate. Nobody gets in trouble. He's not cheating. All these different things we look at that, you know, kind of impugn college athletics at different times. He does none of them, and yet there's still people that complain to me. And I just, most of the time, I just shake my head and walk away. I won't even respond because it's so ridiculous at this point. Now, I understand the frustration. Everybody wants to see the bus make a run in the dance. I get that. You know, that's the, you know, years ago when I first got into business, I was at Purdue University, and, you know, Hall of Fame coach Gene Kelly was there. He never got to a Final Four, and it was always a huge, you know, void, I think, in his resume. And it bothered him, and it bothered the fans, and he used to complain about it. And I thought, you know, in hindsight, you're looking and go, you were complaining about that guy every year, 20-plus wins, NCAA tournaments, Elite Eights, all those kind of things, and they complained about it. It's kind of silly in hindsight. And that's the way I think at some point in time, whenever it is, and I hope it's many, what is Tad now, about 59 years old, I hope it's another 10 years down the road that he retires. But when he does, you're going to look back and go, man, I can't believe we ever complained about that guy.
Well, especially when you look at what's going on the football side, Mark. I mean, you've got a guy with a head coach that's constantly in the thick of things, constantly in the conversations, where football, you're just trying to win games. You're trying to see if you can win a few games in a season and figure out who your next head coach is going to be. That was another rough outing, and you and I talked about Stanford and where that meter is for him. Obviously, it was, to me, it was almost a no-win situation. I mean, you're getting into the bulk of the Pac-12 schedule, so for him to do the unthinkable and pull out tons of wins here so he can win a job, that would have been a tall task.
Oh, there's no doubt, yeah. And listen, we said it last week on the show here, buddy. Oregon State's a very good football team. Make no mistake about it. I said last week, they're a tough, physical football team that does not beat themselves. And what we saw on Saturday night is that exact kind of team. Now, what the young Colorado team did is they did hurt themselves. They had four turnovers in that ballgame. Had a turnover on downs another time. Had four or five drop passes, two of them inside the 30-yard line of drives that were going to result in points. And so, you know, this team is still playing hard. I love what Mike is doing, but, you know, they're young and they're still making youthful mistakes, and he's trying to coach his way through it. But when you play upper-level teams, and keep in mind, they've got Arizona State coming in this weekend, winnable ball game. I think that's something that's going to be akin to what we saw with Cal a couple of weeks ago. But after that, they've got USC, you've got Oregon, you've got Washington, you've got Utah before it all wraps up. They've got a very tough schedule coming up in the month of November. We knew that before the season, and nothing has changed our opinion of that, the way the season's unfolding.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to start with basketball with you, Mark. We go with the positives there. I'm excited for hoop season for sure. And, hey, I'm still hopeful that this state kind of does turn that corner and become kind of known for its basketball. Not saying I don't want to be known for football, too. I want it all. But I think there's so many great basketball situations going on in the state that I would love for all these teams to put their best foot forward and really shine some light on hoops in the state of Colorado.
Well, it certainly would be fun. You know, I think right now, if you look at it, what Tad has done for the extended period of time, he's kind of the gold standard in the state right now. But we've got some very good, you know, what CSU has done the last couple of years has been outstanding, and UNC has played some pretty good basketball, and Air Force at different times. But Tad has set a bar pretty high in the state of Colorado.
No doubt, Mark. Appreciate you as always, my friend. And Buffs get set to take on Arizona State this weekend. And then, as you said, you've got some basketball for us coming up on Sunday.
Yep, Saturday, 3:30 pregame, 5:30 kickoff on the Colorado Football Network. And then on Saturday, that's not a radio broadcast, we're not a TV broadcast. It's just going to be streaming through the Pac-12 Network site. You know, go to CUBuffs.com. Or follow me on social media, on Twitter, at MG Bus Voice. We'll have all the links there. So Bus fans out there can watch that basketball game as Colorado takes on Nebraska in an exhibition game for the second year in a row. And by the way, this is a contest that is going to support Marshall fire victims. Of course, you know that happened a number of months ago. And so some of the proceeds are going to that as well.
Oh, that's outstanding. Great seeing it for a wonderful cause, too. Mark, appreciate you as always, my man.
All right. Talk to you later. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Speaking of basketball, the UNC Bears picked second in the Big Sky preseason polls, made that run in the Big Sky tournament, made it to the championship, and they're coming up behind that team, right, that they played up against last year, Montana State?
Yeah, so they're right in between the two Montana schools. UNC and Montana both received one first-place vote, the rest of them going to Montana State, so a little early fuel for the fire for the Bears there.
It's only Steve Smiley's third season.
That's crazy.
Why does it? Is that because of COVID? Everybody seems like they've just not aged, but there's like it feels like they've been here a lot longer than that. Because
well,
of that
two guards
season.
Have been here now. What, five, 6 years?
For a long time. No, it feels like Smiley. You know, his first year was the COVID year, and it was tough. I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's when they had, like, the back end. You had to play two games against the same team.
Yes, I forgot about it, which I kind of liked. I don't think the players and the coaches liked it. But it was kind of a series-type feel to it. You know, we're going to play you here, and then we're going to play you the next day. And 2 days later, we're going to play you at our place, and you just get it out of the way. But I could see why you go back to the way you typically do it.
Another thing with UNC hoops, they announced it yesterday. Their game against Weber State will be on ESPNU, and that is a home game for the Bears. So a little publicity for Greeley, which continues to just pop up on the most random places for shout-outs.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
That's going to be exciting, though.
Yeah. Well, this team, man, and Steve Smiley, I don't know if it got ignored or whatever, if it was accepted, but I wrote a recommendation letter for Steve Smiley. I wrote one on my own. I talked to Coach and said, I want to recommend you, obviously, because of what I know, you know, about this basketball program. And I just, it's not just the basketball either. It's who he is as a guy. It's what he's doing in the community. I won't kid you. This program, the facilities at UNC aren't, you know, especially football, aren't up there with the upper echelon teams in the Big Sky Conference. So what do you need, Angel? You have to have a coach that's going to get dirty and not cheating, but dirty. Get his hands dirty by working his tail off to promote his program. And Steve Smiley's done that. And I have so much respect for him because of that. And I'm rooting for him. So get your season tickets, man. Go watch this UNC basketball team. Dalen
what,
Koontz.
Like a week away
yeah.
From Saturday?
I'm sitting down with Mr. Koontz tomorrow. We're going to go grab breakfast, talking about putting some radio stuff together with Dalen. This is going to be a fun team. And Dalen is a special player. He's a special young guy, too.
Oh, yeah. Him and Matt, just the leadership they have on and off the court in that locker room. It's going to be fun to see how they kind of take that step this year and kind of lead this mostly young team. As Coach Smiley said a couple weeks ago, a lot of freshmen, a lot of new guys in. So you expect your guards to take those leadership roles, and it should be a fun, exciting season.
I hope the fans get behind this. You know, I want to see it. Listen, you don't want to go watch football. You don't want to go see Ed McCaffrey's crew anymore. You're not in the McCaffrey thing. Is maybe it's lost its shine a little bit. Then I get it. I understand. They're getting smoked out there. I don't think Ed McCaffrey helped himself with those comments that we read in the Denver Post the other day. Do you?
No. I was thinking about that last night, just where I'm at with it, if you listen to me.
Because you're a diehard
fan.
Yeah,
I've been a staunch advocate for McCaffrey and this program since he got hired. And, you know, you root for these players and you root for the best. You want success for this program. And when you don't see it, it's just frustrating and disheartening to keep hoping for it. And, you know, drastic change or not, something needs to be done. Get this program up.
Did that comment bother you?
It did.
Because
I didn't think it would when I first read it, but the more I listened to it and get the context of it, and looking back in the last couple of years, it did bother me a lot more.
And again, for those of you that don't know, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, we've had him on the show a few times, wrote an article about Ed McCaffrey and the UNC Bears, which again goes to show you people are paying attention. Ed McCaffrey is still getting that attention. You know, he was kind of asked, I think, basically, like, hey, if the quarterback's name was Dylan Smith and not Dylan McCaffrey, would he still be starting? And I think Ed probably took that a rough way and said, hey, if it wasn't for Dylan, we'd be getting obliterated out there.
Yeah, it felt like a very defensive response.
And you are getting obliterated, though.
Yeah, and this is no slight to Dylan. He's improved throughout the season.
Yeah.
But it's just not enough, because whether it's Sermon, whether it's Dylan, or whoever's in there, the offense is still not moving the ball the way you want to.
I just want the response to be, I know we got a break, but I just want the response to be more like, no, Dylan's a good quarterback. And that's it. Just leave it at that. But you said it after like week two or three that Jacob Sermon maybe should be the guy.
Yeah, I even had that inclination back in the spring.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see what Dylan could do, but
couple of insiders we talked to that were like, if Dylan, you know, gets hurt and is out, I fear that, you know, Sermon would take the job and not turn back. We'll talk about more of that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
I don't know if you've seen the movie Cable Guy, but that's when Jim Carrey's character is getting ready to go play basketball, pick up basketball with the fellas. He starts warming up, and they're all just standing around watching. He's like, got to warm up first. Stretches, starts doing the suicide sprints, you know, back and forth, hitting half court, back, hit free throw line, back, hit the full length of the court and back. That's totally Russell Wilson on the plane. And everybody in the background of that shot just like, what is he doing? Is the rest of the Broncos where they're trying to sleep on the plane.
The memes have been legendary.
Oh my gosh.
Far.
What are we doing here? Russ, do you not, are you not getting it, man? Like, why, like, does he not think that that's going to blow up and we're going to talk about it and maybe it'll work?
Like,
maybe
we could have not, no, he could have not said that.
Yeah, we don't have to know that.
But he said it.
He said it. All right, third and final hour coming up next. Today in the NFL, future headlines, and so much more. We'll be right back.